ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading this morning from the first canto, chapter 13, text number 2, translation. Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O greatly advanced devotees, who were the Prachetas? To which family did they belong? Whose sons were they? And where did they perform the great sacrifices? Purport. The great Narada's singing in the previous chapter of three verses in the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas gave another impetus to Vidura to ask further questions. Text 3. Manye maha bhagavatam naradam devadarshanam yena prakta kriya yoga paricharya vidhira hare. Vidura continued, I know that the great sage Narada is the greatest of all devotees. He has compiled the Pancharatrika process, the procedure of devotional service, and has directly met the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. There are two different ways of approaching the Supreme Lord. One is called Bhagavat Marga, or the way of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is called Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi is a method of temple worship, and Bhagavat Vidhi is a system of nine processes which begin with hearing and chanting. The Krishna consciousness movement accepts both processes simultaneously and thus enables one to make steady progress on the path of realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Pancharatrika procedure was first introduced by the great sage Narada, as referred to here by Vidura. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Shunyavari Paskachyani Satharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sagarada Sivasari Govattavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare So, sorry, I have to find this, my notes. In the process of devotional service, there are two paths. One is the Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is a system performed by rules and regulations for the purification of the soul, and the other is the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the preaching path. We as devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness follow both paths. Pancharatrika Vidhi concerns itself, for instance, with deity worship, where we observe rules and regulations. Even if we are not directly engaged on the altar, also if there are deities present, there are rules and regulations which we have to observe in relationship to them. For instance, in a temple we may not eat anything which is not offered to the deity first. Also in Grihastha life, it is ideal if the Grihasthas can restrict their eating habits to the food which is prasadam, which is offered to the deities. That is the best way. Of course, sometimes there might be exceptions, but according to Pancharatrika Vidhi, we only eat after the Lord has eaten on the altar. We have the opportunity to live in or near to a temple. This must be kept. Then we may not show our feet before the deities or speak strongly before the deities. We may not praise anyone before the deities. There are many, many rules which have a good sense. They tell us that we should consider ourselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose every activities are meant to please Him. Now this is very important for preachers. If the preachers go out and have not followed Pancharatrika Vidhi, they might become a little wild and unruly. Like some of our devotees go for these rock and roll festivals in Saturday afternoon, and it is a known fact, if one associates with the non-devotees, one's consciousness is sometimes a little bit in danger. I remember when I was in Germany preaching, I would sometimes go to people who were smoking drugs, and when I went to home, when I went finally into the bed, I had almost smoked a joint of hashish, because these people, they were just so impossible, you know, the smoke was all over. And then, so if devotees, while associating with the karmis, do not see the danger and subsequently take full shelter in the Pancharatrika Vidhi, then this is not very good. When we are in a temple, we should take full advantage to come to all the programs, to observe the deities with great devotion, to pray to them. In other words, we should stabilize our Krishna consciousness by following that Vidhi, the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the rules and regulations. We should voluntarily submit ourselves to executing them, and if we do, we will find that we are very much engaged. Someone who observes a temple life, he often feels the day passed so fast. Do you know, have this experience? When you go to all the programs, then you are engaged from 4 o'clock up to 9 o'clock. That's 5 hours in Pancharatrika Vidhi. Then again, in the midday, you eat some prasadam which has been offered. That takes half an hour. Then you have to read. That takes 1 hour. Then in the evening, something is going on, or if not, then you listen to a tape. A devotee who is following Pancharatrika Vidhi has 8 hours of solid spiritual program a day. I once calculated it. Translators sometimes go mad because of this. They have to work a lot. And then there's so much time gone for the Pancharatrika Vidhi. But it's good. If we are in a temple, we should submit to this. It will prepare us for eternal life. It's not something which we should take lightly, or where we feel disturbed, or now I'm not engaged in book distribution or preaching, I'm wasting my time. No, you're not. You're preparing yourself for eternal life and become happy with this. This is what a devotee feels. However, when we are in the temple, slowly making progress in devotional service, it is very, very important to observe the activities of our mind. Our mind can manage to become diverted to different mental functions. even when we are in Krishna consciousness, observing the path of Saran Bhakti, in our mind has to be watched very carefully. King Maharaj Rishabdev, he says, when a transcendentalist who comes to a transcendental movement, does not control his mind, continues to be careful with his mind, then his he is like a hunter who has captured animals but left the door open so that they can run away again. See, when we have come to the movement for Krishna consciousness, we have gotten some control over our mind. However, if we are now not very careful, we are just like the hunter who has got control over animals but who leaves the door open. They will run. In the same way, a devotee who does not observe mental hygiene, who does not observe to control the mind regularly and steadily, he will again observe how the mind becomes attracted to Maya. Our bhaktas won't believe it, but it is a sad fact. If the mind is always surrounded by six powerful enemies, lust, greed, enviousness, what is it? Anger, enviousness, madness, and illusion. It's always there. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, if I look at a naked wooden doll, just a wooden doll, naked, this is not very good. He said, because Prabhupada explained in the purport, the mind, whenever there is a little impetus, whenever there is a little freeway, the enemies will jump on the mind, you know, and ride on the ride the mind. This is very important instruction for a devotee. So therefore, he must be very careful, because these enemies, if he gives space to these enemies, they will triumphantly take the space and control him. Our mind is a basic factor for keeping us in this material world. Yada Bharat instructs King Rahugana on this. The materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul carries it to different species of life. This is called continued material existence. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. Being thus illusioned, the mind further creates pious and impious activities and their karma, and thus the soul becomes conditioned. The mind makes the living entity within this material world wander through different species of life, and thus the living entity experiences mundane affairs in different forms as a human being, demigod, fat person, skinny person, and so forth. Learned scholars say that bodily appearance, bondage, and liberation are caused by the mind. It is the mind which is responsible for our long nose or our fat belly, because we created a certain mental image, and due to this, we took birth in a certain body. It is said, learned scholars say that bodily appearance, bondage, and liberation are caused by the mind. So therefore, people, there is a subject in medieval science. It's called, I only know it in German, but you will know from the sound vibration what it is. Physiognomie. You understand this? You look at someone's face, and by the way the face is covered, the face is there, you can see what kind of interest he has in his life. If you have studied this science, I have studied this science. It's amazing. As preachers, we can use it. You know, we just look at somebody's face and we know part of his desire, not everything, but part of his desire. For instance, if you can look at someone's lips, study them, and by looking at them, you can see what is the degree of his lust. It is striking. Some people get shocked, you know, when you tell them things about themselves on the first meeting, because you just read in the picture, in the book of their faith about their mind. This is actually, it can be practiced. And within certain realms, it's true. It's very amazing. It does not hold true so much with devotees. It is very amazing, because devotees still keep their material bodies, but their mind is completely different if they make advancement in Krishna consciousness. For instance, there is one devotee, according to his facial expression, he should be an arrogant fool, very egoistic and egocentrical, but if you get to know him, not that. Not at all. He's a loving, kind person. Amazing. Shocking. For materialists. For devotees, it's a sign that Krishna consciousness works. So, it is, we are products of our mind. The state of our mind in our previous life determined where we took birth. And the state of our mind now determines our amount of happiness and distress. The mind, to control the mind, is most important. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the instruction that every morning when we wake up and our mind is sluggy and foolish, especially after Sunday feast, Monday morning blues. You know that one is tired, one feels like anyway. So we should give it a solid beating in the morning, 100 times with the broomstick. Come on, wake up. You're an eternal servant of Krishna, chant year round. Prepare yourself for a full day of devotional service. This is a beating of the stick. We should preach to the mind. You are not allowed to ruin my life today. Also, when we come to the evening before going to bed, should immediately again put the mind in the right perspective. Because if we do not do it, we might dream nonsense in the night and spend 6 hours in the peep show of the mind. So this is very important to therefore give it a solid beating in the evening, so it becomes also focused on the right thing. Devotees therefore sometimes they read Krishna book before they go to bed, or about Srila Prabhupada's wonderful activities. So I will read you one more shloka, which will convince you of how powerful the mind is. Anyone who is interested in this subject matter, the mind, how it works, how to control it, I want to give them a wonderful recommendation. Please read in the 5th canto, chapter 11, the whole chapter. It's only 17 texts. Very, very, very important instructions on the workings of the mind. So the chapter ends with a summary of what Maharaj Bharata told King Rahugana. It's this. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. although it is not factual, listen to this, although it is not factual, the mind is just a material element, Shinji Prabhu, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. Oh, devotees of the Copenhagen Mandir, please try to control this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the supreme personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Sadhu Shabdan. Sadhu. Be careful. This is what the Vaishnavas say. Sadhu Shabdan. They like to agree with each other. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of our Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. So this is the very, very important instruction of for Krishna conscious practical daily life. We must control our mind. This is very nicely explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. Oh my Lord, there is no limit. There is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered them so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. The mind is mercilessness. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. Oh my Lord, oh head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I'm giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires, and now I come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. So, this is a point which I want to just dedicate a few more minutes of the lecture to, especially dangerous in the mind when we come to Krishna consciousness is anger towards devotees or politicking against devotees. This is the most dangerous aspect of an uncontrolled mind in Krishna consciousness. It can immediately finish our enthusiasm for spiritual life. In the Bhagavatam, there is a very amazing shloka. It says, if the mind is not situated rightly, it is like a givik, which is not placed properly, and when burning, it creates smoke. So, now comes the Krishna conscious physiognomy. If you look in some devotee's face and you see that he is not properly inspired, it is mostly, and his face is a little disturbed, it is mostly because his mind burns in the wrong way. Smoke has come on the glass of his face. And you can see he's not so effulgent as he used to be. So, we have to take care that we are in a situation where we are happily progressing in Krishna consciousness. And we have to be careful that our mind does not create offenses towards other devotees. If it does, our mind will become blackened. Our faith will become disturbed. This is how it is explained by Yadavaha Bharat. In order to progress in Krishna consciousness, we must take care that our mind is always properly placed in devotional service to Krishna. It may take some time until we find this devotional service. However, if we are not... please don't be so diverted. Children have to cry. Natural, it is. Just don't listen to it, and you won't be disturbed. It might take some time before we are properly placed in devotional service, and therefore sometimes our mind will be disturbed, and we will commit so many bad thoughts we will have. But we should never allow our mind to go into Vaishnava apparat, because if we do, we are in a very, very precarious situation. Someone who commits Vaishnava apparat or thinks badly about devotees, that anger eats away at his substance. It's like when a tree has fire on the root, the tree cannot grow up very nicely. Everything, all the leaves, all the branches, is affected by this fire. So if our mind in Lulujit, please, this is not necessary to speak now. This is a different time. if our minds are committing Vaishnava apparat, we must immediately clarify this by going to by excusing, by stopping these bad thoughts. If there's anything to correct, Krishna and the spiritual master will correct. But if we just create fire in our mind, we will burn up our whole devotional existence and wither away. And the immediate result is that we have material desire. The perfect example for this, of course, we all know, is Ramachandra Puri. I think he was Ramachandra Puri, who committed Vaishnava apparat. Actually, not even Vaishnava. He committed an offense against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, it started with Vaishnava apparat. It's amazing to study his life. Usually, this is very amazing. It starts off with the mind when it gets unsatisfied. It starts off with Vaishnava apparat. Like Ramachandra Puri, he went to the devotees and forced them to eat. Take more, take more, take more. And the devotees were so humble, they did take more. Finally, imagine, he went to them and said, "You gluttonous pigs, you eat like madmen." And because he committed this offense, later he committed an offense against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same thing is with one other Ramachandra. His name is Ramachandra Khan. He committed an offense against Haridas Thakur. He was the one who sent a prostitute in order to make him fall down. And later, it's described, the offense fructified into a tree, big, big tree. The seed came into a big, big tree, and he was forced to eat the bitter fruit. That's when he committed an offense against Lord Nityananda. And as a result, the Muslims went into his house, and there where he worshipped Durga, they killed a cow and polluted the whole house. They ruined his whole existence as a punishment. So this is very important. If in Krishna consciousness, we have to control the mind, first of all, by placing it at the lotus feet of the Lord and engaging in proper devotional service. If this is not there, our mind will make us difficulties. The history of spiritual life of in everyone's life is usually a history of someone trying to control his mind. If I think back of my devotional life, the major victory, so to say, were when I was able to control the mind, like I wanted to stay in Jotobok for the rest of my life because I was so frustrated with the Germans. This was at one time of my life. I didn't want to preach to the schools. This is Germans, hard-hearted, passionate, nervous Germans. This is what I had in my mind. But Prabhupada had actually given me an order. So I knew one day I will have to go back. And when I surrendered to this order, my life became happy and wonderful again. Well, wonderful, I can't say this, but I became properly placed again in devotional service. Other times, when I was very young brahmachari, there was an idea, maybe I should marry. But it's not my nature. I'm not by nature a grihastha type. I'm a happily running around type. And, you know, like these people should stay alone. It was just material, it was just maya, more or less. So I was thinking for 1 month, should I or should I not? And then Krishna made an arrangement. It was when I was very young in Krishna consciousness. There was a Madhati who was considered to be like the mother of all of us. It was the wife of the temple president. She was like 30 years older than us. So she always liked to marry people, to get them married. So she went to me, what do you think, shouldn't you marry? Because she went to everyone. She didn't know my fight in the mind. But she came. And then I heard her argument why it's good to marry, and I thought, this person is out of her mind. It's completely crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I decided in my mind, no, this is all Maya. I'm going to say brahmachari, finished, but no longer any discussion, please. Just left her in the room and said, goodbye. I'm going. This is not for me. This discussion. You can talk to anyone and everyone, but not to me. I was arrogant. I mean, the problem came back again, you know. But again, this is in Krishna consciousness. What I want to illustrate is by just putting me on the, for your inspection, for your analysis. The major victories in Krishna consciousness happened when the mind was controlled. The major defeats happened when the mind was not controlled. This is a secret of every yoga system. We have to control the mind. We have to control the mind. We have to control the mind. It's that important, and it can be repeated 100 times. This point was discussed in another discussion. I read a few verses from the discussion between Yada Bharat and Maharaj Shahugana, but there are many other places. One of these places is when Dhruva was captured by the mind. You might remember his brother was actually killed by the Yakshas. So he went in full armor to kill all of the Yakshas. He wanted to terminate a whole race of human beings because a few, two or three unruly Yakshas had just killed his brother. It's just, you understand, he was so angry at the whole race. So his grandfather, Svayambhuva Manu, he saw this. And he said, because you are a pure devotee of the Lord is always thinking of you. and you are also recognized by all his confidential devotees. Your life is meant for exemplary behavior. I'm therefore surprised. Why have you undertaken such an abominable task? I mean, he was there slaughtering the yakshas by the thousands. And Swayambhuva Manu said, how, you are an exemplary devotee. Everyone thinks of you highly. How could you degrade yourself so much in your mind as to become so angry? He continued, the Lord is very satisfied with his devotee. When the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. One who actually satisfies the Supreme Personality of Godhead during one's lifetime becomes liberated from the gross and subtle material conditions. Thus, being freed from all material modes of nature, he achieves unlimited spiritual bliss. So, he just tells him very clearly, you are completely in Maya. You should satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by being kind to others, but instead you give way to uncontrollable anger. It's actually very, very philosophical. So by studying out my audience, I see you are very tired, so I can't preach this philosophical thing. You won't be able to understand. You are very, extremely tired. I will just make one more point. I wanted to actually get very deep into this, but I have to speak according to time, place, and circumstance. Yep, it is. The Supreme Personality of God is. He makes a very important point. He says, you considering that someone is your friend and someone is your enemy, that you should be envious towards someone. But this is all illusion. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his feature of eternal time is present in the material world and is neutral towards everyone. No one is his ally and no one is his enemy. Within the jurisdiction of the time element, everyone enjoys or suffers the result of his own karma or fruitive activities. As when the wind blows, small particles of dust fly in the air, so according to one's particular karma, one suffers or enjoys material life. This is a very important point. Everything which is moved here in this world is moved by the time element. Also, sometimes in devotee communities, it so happens that other devotees behave in a very bad way towards us. They spread rumors. Oh, did you hear? So and so was in her life before she joined such and such, and then it's a rumor. And sometimes we become disturbed when we hear this. We shouldn't become so disturbed if we hear rumors against us. It is due to our previous activities that these rumors come at us. It is created by the time element. It is said by Queen Kunti that sufferings come due to social intercourse. In other words, if a devotee in the material world, people act as friends and enemies towards each other, and therefore they suffer and enjoy. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, also sometimes people, devotees, create sufferings in our life. By saying things about us or acting in a rude and harsh way against us. This comes by social intercourse. So a devotee, a devotee will suffer due to his previous social intercourse. That means thinking in terms of friends and enemies. Therefore, he has to suffer to get free from this social or material life, and to learn to associate with devotees on a purely spiritual platform of Krishna Katha. Then this suffering will stop. Maybe sometimes devotees will commit Vaishnava aparad against a highly exalted soul and who only talks Krishna Katha. But then the devotee will not be disturbed by this. Not at all. He will, because of his purity, just continue doing his service undisturbed, and the offender will suffer. Now, these are some intricate subject matters for Vaishnav in Vaishnav relationship. But please consider this. We are all moved by the time element, and the time is moving according to karma. I will now tell you a story which illustrates this very, very nicely. It's about an old lady who had a nice son. So one day the son went into the forest and a poisonous snake bit him. And he died on the spot. This was seen by Arjunaka, a hunter. And by his skills, he was capable, he managed to capture the snake and bring it to the old lady. He said, "Here is the cruel murderer of your son, Mata. What should I do with him? Should I kill him before your eyes? Torture him a little bit with a knife?" Huh? And the old woman said, "No, I'm not really sure that he is the murderer of my son. I saw it. The snake jumped at your son, bit him, and then the poor person just died." "I don't know," said the old lady. It appears to me the snake is not responsible." "Yes," said the snake, "I'm not responsible. It was death which was responsible. I just bit, but the death, it's snuck on the your son, and it killed him." So Arjunaka said, "You just want to escape the right punishment. Let us call death then, death, and see what he has to say." So they called him. "No," said death, "I'm not at all responsible. It's time which is responsible. If it would not have been the time for the son to die, he certainly wouldn't have died. I couldn't have done anything. So what would you say, Shivanji Prabhu? Is time responsible? Who is responsible?" "Yes! Very good! How did you know?" "I thought you were at that time a little tired, but you heard everything." The karma which was the whole responsible. And the old lady was very satisfied. She was a Vaishnavi. She said, "Yes, it's the karma. He did wrong, therefore he was killed." So the time element moves us all around. It has moved us around in the material world, and we have become enemies and friends due to the moving of the of our karma. Yes, karma moves time. Time moves us. Because according to time, in due course of time, we get the fruits of our karma. Yes, you understand? Time and karma are ruled over by the super soul. This is another very interesting point. Ultimately, Krishna moves everything. But let us come back to a more external observation. Now, where we are in Krishna, we said, we should not create a situation where we consider people according to friends and enemies. If we do, our mind will be polluted, and surely our activities will be polluted. First, the mind gets to be polluted, and then the activities. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he saw according to friends and enemies, and he engaged in violent slaughter. A devotee in Krishna consciousness must keep a very nice relationship to all other Vaishnavas. Those who are more advanced than him, he should learn. Those who are on an equal level, he should make friendship. And those who are not on so advanced, he should help them in the advancement of their spiritual life. Now, of course, Vaishnava relationships can only prosper when there is a feeling of humility. Only a humble mind can be controlled. If the mind gets strong like a mad elephant, it will create the mad elephant offense, which is offenses against Vaishnavas. So nice, our philosophy. So we should actually create a humble mind. And I wanted to explain this, how this is so important in Krishna consciousness, by giving the story of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. You know, every morning we read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So when Rupa Goswami worked on the invocation, the auspicious invocation, one other great scholar came by. It was Vallabha Bhattacharya. And Rupa Goswami, in his humbleness, said, "Please look at my invocation if it is proper. You should please study this and edit it. I will now go into to do my noon duties and to also go into the Jamuna for a bath, and when I come back, please, it would be nice if you have edited everything." So Vallabha Bhatta read this wonderful piece of literature. It was said that Rupa Goswami's handwriting in itself was so beautiful, it looked like pearls strung on a thread. So beautiful was his handwriting. You can see we have we have one book, Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. There is a photograph of his handwriting. Very accurate, very beautiful. So Vallabhacharya, who really did not know who Rupa Goswami was, corrected a few of his verses according to what he thought was right. And then he was waiting for Rupa Goswami. So whilst he corrected it, Rupa's disciple was there, Srila Jiva Goswami, and he saw correction, and he immediately went to Vallabha Bhatta and said, "On what reasons have you corrected this?" "Well," said Vallabhacharya, the Sanskrit grammar, okay, "you have not understood the writings of Jiva Goswami. They are in of Rupa Goswami," said Jiva. "They are in perfect tune with all the rules of grammar, of poetry, and so on. He just has written it in a very difficult way, which is you couldn't understand." And then Vallabhacharya was challenged by this young man. Then they discussed, and Jiva Goswami defeated him point by point by point by point by point. So then Vallabha became completely restless, and he went to Rupa, where he took his bath, and he said, "Dandavat, dandavat, dandavat. I'm so sorry. I actually created a great offense against you. I corrected your writing, not understanding that you are the greatest of all scholars." So Rupa Goswami said nothing, but he thought. But why has Vallabhacharya come to excuse himself? He is a much greater scholar than I. It's only for one reason. he must have met Jiva, who does not tolerate if someone corrects me. And Jiva must have defeated him. So he didn't say anything, but he went home and he said, Jiva, pack your things. You have to leave Vrindavan. You're not fit to live in Vrindavan. You have not realized that Mahaprabhu's teaching that one has to be very humble. You're always trying to defeat other people. You're not fit to live here. Just go, go, go. I do not want to see you anymore. You know, when a guru says this to his disciple, the life of the disciple is ruined. He just paid his obeisances and then ran with tears in his eyes. He ran and he went to the Yamuna. And it was near Kam Yavan. And he was no longer able to eat. He went into a cave, a deserted cave of a crocodile, and lived there in the stinky pit. And he could not chant his rounds. He could not continue his sadhan. He could not continue his study. He just shouted, Ha Gauranga, Ha Gauranga, Roop Sanatan, Roop Sanatan. He could only chant the names of his preceptors. One time, someone who had compassion on him gave him a chapati, dry chapati. So he soaked it in the water of the Yamuna and he tried to eat it. But he only got stomach ulcers, you know, heavy ulcers. So the people near the village, they saw this beautiful young transcendentalist, you know, just crying, shouting, wailing. You know, he went mad in desperation. Then after some time in this village, Shonoton, Goswami came, the elder brother of Rupa Goswami, and the villagers said to him, Oh Babu, there's a young man, he is certainly a great devotee of Lord Hari, but he is finished, he's ruined, some indescribable calamity has happened in his life, we can't even talk to him, he's just crying and shouting your name and Rupa's name, that's all. He lives in that cave from the crocodile. Sanatan said, wow, this can be only one person. It must be Jiva. So he went to him and there he found Jiva. Jiva was a shadow of himself. This is how the karmics would say it. We don't say it like this. He was completely emaciated. You could see every rib. He had not eaten for a long time. He had just cried. And Sanatan said, come with me to Vrindavan immediately. So Jiva couldn't even protest. He was so weak. And he could not walk. They had to carry him in a basket because he was so weak. So he put the basket before Rupa Goswami's cot. Then Sanatan went in to Rupa Goswami. What have you done? You are supposed to be the Acharya of the whole mankind, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You have acted in a very rash way. Why said Rupa, whatever. And he was not aware of anything. Then Sanatan said, what are the teachings of Mahaprabhu? And Rupa went through all the teachings and then he came to Jiva Doyo. Do you know what this means, Doyo? Mercy, yes. Jiva Doyo. It means mercy to all living entities. Then Sanatan said, stop here. How have you realized Jiva Doyo? Jiva is a wordplay. Jiva is also Jiva Goswami. Goswami, you refer to Jiva Goswami, our nephew. Yes. Well, he is not fit to live in Vrindavan. He is not humble enough. He is defeating even Vallabhacharya, who is his superior by age and by knowledge. Yes, Sanatan, but you can't see it like this. His guru was offended. And therefore, he had to defeat the offender. He cannot see it the way you see it. He has to see it from the perspective of a shishya, of a disciple. No, it has nothing to do with humility. He is following the codes of Vaishnava conduct. Oh, see, Rupa was so humble, he couldn't see it that way. He said, oh no, really? Oh, then Jiva Goswami has to come back to Vrindavan. He is already before your door, waiting for your mercy. So then Rupa Goswami went outside and blessed Jiva again. This is how he came back. So you can see from this story, I mean, of course, this is completely beyond us. But it is such a nice story, and I wanted to tell it. Because if we understand the principle, which is Vaishnava humility, then we will not allow our crazy minds to make offenses against Vaishnavas, and we will be very careful to associate in a good way with the devotees. And if we learn that to become humble servants of the Vaishnavas, the whole temple atmosphere will be just like Vaikuntha. But if we bring our mind into the temple atmosphere and create an unwanted situation, we will be the first to suffer and the whole atmosphere suffers. So this was one aspect of controlling the mind. I wanted to just say it because it's nice for devotees to hear this. But there is also, there are of course other aspects of which is controlling mind, not be lusty and so on and so forth, not allow the mind to wander. We have this wonderful opportunity now in the Krishna conscious movement. We should not allow how our mind, which is not factual, I mean it's just a material element, it has nothing to do with us, that it creates a bad situation for us. But be very careful. Sadhu, sadhu. This is when devotees have finished their meal. You know, then they say, sadhu, sadhu. They just raise their arms, these old Vaishnavas in Vrindavan with his skinny arms. Sadhu, sadhu. Be careful, sadhu. Don't fall into Maya. Because then they leave and they go to other duties. So let us take from this lesson this point to control our mind always by fixing it in positive devotional service, by becoming the loving friend of the Vaishnavas, whatever they are, whoever they are, even if sometimes a miserable situation is created due to our own faults. Let us not become highly agitated if Vaishnavas criticize us. It is necessary also for our own rectification. But again, from the side of the Vaishnavas who criticize, this must be done in a very careful way. There is something in Vaishnavism like correcting each other in a Vaishnav manner. But this is done with great respect and through the proper channels, not through rumors or you know, like in Kami societies, when it's done in a loving way by going to older devotees who are aware of the situation. If we feel something must be criticized, for instance, we feel that, just know of a good example, Sangitan leader, we feel he does this or that, then we should go to the authority of the Sangitan leader and tell him, I have seen this, please consider this, observe this, and if you see it also the same way, then please help him to overcome his difficulties. So Hare Krishna, here I'm finished. Thank you very much for hearing this lecture with a patient and wakeful ear. Special thanks and congratulations go to Lulujit, who was suffering the tapasya to stand up the whole time. This is very nice. So it's very high standard of hearing. Are there any questions? Yeah, it was actually not correct. We should not correct superiors because they are much superior to us. Rupa Goswami is. What is he actually in Krishna Leela? Rupa Manjari, isn't it? Rupa Manjari, one of the most confidential associates of the Lord. I should not have criticized him. Yeah. Because he thought himself to be so great. Vallabhacharya has big problems with his pride. It comes at another time also. He presented a commentary to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, I've written better than Swami, than Sridhar Swami, after Chaitanya, whoever says, and he made again a word play, I think it's called, whoever thinks he is doing better than the Swami, he is a prostitute. Swami also means husband. And he took that meaning. Whoever is not loyal to the husband is a prostitute. He said like this for Sridhar. He said, first of all, Vallabhacharya. He thought himself very learned. This was his hang-up. And he certainly was learned. This is how pride can cloud one's vision. But any other? Everyone is quiet after this heavy lecture. But it is a nice subject, isn't it? To control the mind. It is very important. What do you think, Mathuresh Prabhu? Very important subject, isn't it? I think it is more or less crystal clear. We just have to do it. And one thing, one nice tip how to control the mind is when you always create a spiritual atmosphere around the mind. Like, just chant during the day. Sing Hare Krishna. Shunga, huh? Shunga? Shunga Hare Krishna. Shunga, yes. Shunga is again. Yeah. Shunga. Yes. Yes.
Consciousness? Actually, how much can you take
You are bound in the degree of your non-surrender. The degree of your not being surrendered deciding how bound you are. A devotee who surrenders to Krishna, to service, he actually transcends the modes of material nature. So you only have one way, either to surrender to Maya or to surrender to Krishna. And to learn to surrender to Krishna, that's our mission in life. It takes some time before we can. It's not easy to follow all of the instructions which are given in the Bhagavad Gita and it's a learning process. I think everyone is aware of this. We have to learn to follow the instructions also of our spiritual master, and we know he has high expectations and we do not really live up to them. So this we have to learn in gradual steps. Surrender a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Always never stop surrendering. Always push the limits of your surrender further and further until you are fully surrendered.
So whatever you have, whatever combination you have,
then it is controlled by Krishna. It is described that an iron piece, when you hold it in the fire, slowly and slowly it becomes iron. It has the external appearance still of iron, but it acts as fire. It's like when you are fully surrendered, you will still look, have black hair, you know, and be 1 meter, whatever is your size, this will be still there. But your body is spiritualized. Long way. Start as soon as possible. Yes, Lilith.
When the
then previous activities, yes, yes, it can be, it can be. See, it's when devotees. Sometimes we are criticized. This happens to you also sometimes. So it is due to our wrongdoings. We've done something wrong, so we are getting criticized. But sometimes also rumors are spread. Someone may say, Lulujit was in Tivoli last night. You were not, but they spread, the rumor spreads around. One banner of Krishna, one friend of Krishna comes. I saw Lulujit in Tivoli. He was riding on the, you know, the merry-go-round, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, and he had one glass of sugar, what is it, sweet pearl juice in one hand, and was completely drunken, you know. So it's not true, but they say like this, and then then Maturesh says, yeah, it must be true. Lulu looks so happy today. In not such a nice way. It must be true. And he tells Shiranji, no, I know Lulu. He's very tired in the night. Maybe in a dream he was doing this, but he can't be responsible for this. No, but Panchamukha said, no. This little he's capable to do anything, you know. And in this way, the rumor spreads. And why is this? Sometimes we suffer then, and the reason is that we have also spoken in a bad way. There's a karmic. You know why people smell out of their mouth? This is Vishnu Samhita, because in their previous life they spoke bad about others. In Kali Yuga, I think everyone smells from the mouth, isn't it? Isn't it? This is Vishnu Sanskita. This is a karmic reaction to speaking bad about others. A devotee considers like this. He says, this suffering is due to my previous karmic activities. Te sham tate nukam panu. Please say the whole thing after. Yes. Tate nukam pam shushmik shaman bunjana eva atma. Atma means self. If one has done it oneself. Bunjana eva atma kritam. Kritam means done. Vipakam. So a devotee should endure the suffering which is coming due to his previous activities. Just like there was it's a very nice story how Prabhupada did this. One Srila Prabhupada, he preached in a lecture. I think it was he gave a lecture in one university, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who was then still hadn't joined Prabhupada, but his friend was there. So in the end of the lecture, the friend of Gopal Krishna Maharaj stood up and said, this is nonsense, this is not how it is taught in the Vedas that Krishna is all in all. He's just one aspect of Godhead. So usually, Prabhupada would have become very angry and defeated the person, isn't it? But this time he didn't say anything. And I mean, this is very bad if you give a lecture to foreigners, to Americans, and an Indian says, you have not represented the teachings. It's very bad. So everyone was thinking, why didn't Prabhupada smash this school? And after the lecture, someone asked him, and Prabhupada said, oh, in my past life, I must have done something like this to him. I must have said something against him. That's why I'm suffering. Prabhupada suffered as a preacher. He really suffered when this Indian said it. You know, but he said, in my previous life, I must have done something wrong. I must have said something wrong to him. Amazing, isn't it? You had a question, yes? I understand if one doesn't have anyone as a friend like that. Yes. It is... Now I see, I was thinking this morning about this. Somehow it just came in my mind this. I was thinking, do I have... See, there are two... When we want to have a friendship in Krishna consciousness, the friendship in Krishna consciousness is we have to be qualified to do this, to act in a friendly way. We should behave in a Krishna conscious way as a friend. We must be spiritual qualified. If we just want to have a friend like we can lean on in the material world, you know, it's like a friend in the material world, like someone with whom we can talk on the mental platform and who can who tolerates our laziness and so on and so forth, then this will not work in Krishna consciousness. We won't find these kind of friends. Sometimes neophyte devotees want to create this artificial feeling of friendship among, in the Bhakta Ashram, you see it. They talk what they did in their previous, before they came into Krishna consciousness. Oh, I was really fallen. And then they enjoy to tell about their materialistic adventures and so on and so forth. And they try to become friends, but next morning you see these factors quarreling because this friendship doesn't work, this kind of friendship. When you want to have friends amongst the devotees, you have to learn to understand that speaking about Krishna is the best way of making friendship. When we come to Krishna consciousness, speaking about Krishna is a little unnatural for us because we have so many other things in our mind, cars and duties and so on and so forth. But on this level, there is no friendship in Krishna consciousness. It just doesn't work out. Isn't it? I have seen this many times in my life as a devotee. You have to rise to the platform of spiritual friendship. It's also a very important thing in marriage life. In marriage life, we want emotional, we want one great reason why devotees want to marry. It's not that they just think about, the opposite sex, so to say. No, they want to have some human warmth in it. They hope in this relationship they will find someone who is like a friend. But whenever marriage relationship comes on such a material friendship level, it just doesn't work out. You may be friends for a few moments, but then there is quarrel because the level was not right. So in other words, we have to become friends in Krishna consciousness by behaving like devotees do, behaving on the level of devotional service and devotional exchange and so on. And then it works. This may sound a little unnatural for us in the beginning. It takes time to get into this. But if we do, it becomes wonderful. And if we do not, we always look for these kind of worldly friends. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work in the Bhakta ashram. It doesn't work when you're 20 years in the movement. It doesn't work when you are in a marriage relationship. It doesn't work out when the disciple wants his guru to be his friend, because a guru won't do it. We have to learn what is friendship. It's a harsh lesson. Because when we come to Krishna consciousness, it is not... We have to really work to get our thinking into the way a devotee thinks. It's not that it comes automatically. You really have to force your mind. You have to change your personality. Then only you are able to have this very important devotee friendship, which we need. Yes? Yeah, but he is not a friend. Yeah, sure, but again the same, I want to answer it in the same way. We have to qualify in order to come to the spiritual level where our spiritual master is friendly with us. We can't expect him to be like the baby-hugging politician, you know, who says, what a nice child you got. He is so well-behaved in lectures all the time. And, you know, like this, the flattering and so on. Or in another way, sometimes he might say, how are you doing? Nice to see you. But the real kindness of the guru is on a different level. But we see, this is the point I'm trying to make. We usually expect this human warmth because we are human beings. We want that other people say, how are you? And they clap us on the shoulder. But as devotees, we have to learn the real deep Vaishnava friendship, which is over Krishna consciousness. Very nice example which has been given is, if you give roots, water to the root of a tree, all the leaves become automatically satisfied. But the leaves can't be satisfied by just rubbing on each other, you know, and whispering in the air. This is not how the leaves will be. This is very superficial satisfaction. So Krishna consciousness, we always have to go through Krishna. This is a lesson we have to learn. This is how I would answer this. This is my speaking from realization. Because I'm a very warm person, also a friendly man. I think you can see from the way I'm a personal, kind of personal man. And I was always thinking, why is it not possible? There are all these devotees, it's so difficult to act on that, to find this. As a young devotee, as a bhakta, I was thinking, but I have understood that you have friends when you are Krishna conscious. When you are in Krishna consciousness, or when you try at least to be Krishna conscious, if you try to serve the devotees, try to do service in the temple, if you try to speak to devotees about Krishna, you will see they are all your friends. But if you don't do that, then this friendship won't last. We have this in our in Germany. There is we call it a lager friendship. There's a lager. What is a lager here? A storehouse or go down?
Lager.
It's also lager. It's a German word, isn't it? But they use it
here.
Lager. Uh-huh. So there's the devotees who are hard working. They eat pizzas together. They go swimming together. They go in the sauna together. It's a club of friends, so to say. But constantly there is difficulty amongst them, because you can't have such friendship in Krishna consciousness. It just doesn't work out. It is too low. It's not what we want. Jaina Singha, Jaina Singha. Yeah, but talk about things which are related to Krishna. I was in Mayapur, then I jumped into the Ganga. Wow, what that got. You know, if that is your level, I do not know if that is your level. Or you say, I did this on Sankirtan, and this person came to me and he told me, those books are wonderful. And then I gave him a whole set. You know, like this, you can talk. Something which is related to service or related to Krishna. I know if you would start to talk to Shiranjit, the calf of my mind has wandered away from the nectar which is flowing from Vedic literature, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. Now the calf of my mind has entered a cave and drunken from the poisoned water. O Krishna, you are a cowherd boy. Please take your stick and guide the calf of my mind back to your holy name. You must stay like this. Maybe he's overdoing it. Have you slept enough, Jaina Singha? Although this is a wonderful poem by Rupa Goswami, he would be concerned about your welfare, you know. Isn't it? Because we would understand it is a little artificial. Yeah. It's all the devotees we do. Then we meet, we talk this and that. How are you doing? What are you doing? Then we talk about philosophy.
Who is on in regards to how the soul fell from this world to world? Did you talk like this? And then we get very heated and temperamental. Well, you know, we really, it's an involved discussion. not artificial. Now you can't say this. Have you not considered this statement? You know, we just like ordinary talk of this Krishna and the center. Yeah. It may be because it is not, we are not constantly absorbed in Krishna's pastime, so. But we can talk about philosophy. This is also related to Krishna. It is, sometimes people want to jump to the 10th canto without having read the 2nd canto where the creation is taking place. And when Prabhupada criticizes, you know, you have read in Bhagavatam. This is also Krishna's pastime. So, just the last thing, but very short. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. This is Jiva Goswami was explaining this. That Archanam is a daily worship. Everything has to be preceded with chanting. It's an important function in daily worship to chant the holy name.